Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you, Nazim Rashid, for this beautiful music. Nazim Rashid from the album Remembrance, River Nile, and it's available at Barnes & Noble and other fine record stores, bookstores. And we certainly appreciate Nazim Rashid, who was who served as co-host on this show for some time before he branched off and went into Mentor Man, which follows our show on Blog Talk Radio. So if you're interested, just go ahead into Blog Talk Radio after our show ends and put a /, and then put Mentor Man, and you can hear some positive news about what's going on in the world today. Well, good morning. I am Professor Applewhite, and I am just so pleased to be here this morning. Lots of good things to talk to you about as we close our four-part discussion on school violence, students to shooters. This is a part 4 of 4, as I said, and so we're kind of like going to gather the information together and just summarize, sometimes go back over some of the things that we discussed, but we're not going to. This is a new look at what we've been talking about, so it's not a review, and so you're not going to spend an hour reviewing the last three episodes, okay? I don't like that when people do that to me, so I said, you know, let's write something that's really going to make an impact on how we summarize what we've done for the last 3 weeks on school violence, students to shooters. We've learned a lot. We've learned a lot about legislation and the Privacy Act and why, I hope some of you have caught on to why it's so difficult to mark a student and follow them through from early grade school into college and actually report aggressive or violent acts that they've committed throughout K-12, and that way it would notify the college authorities to take a second look. But we can't do it. We can't do it because we've got these legislative ties on us so that we have to protect a student's privacy. And there's definitely good points and not so good points about protecting the privacy of students and also making sure that we don't mark somebody unjustly, because a mark, oh my goodness, a mark can carry on throughout life. And to have teachers look at you as if you are different and do not fit in is not very, very comfortable for anyone. And I think some of us can relate to that without even talking about whether or not you've exhibited some aggressive or violent behavior in school. just to be labeled or marked because you read slowly or speak slowly or you don't really understand a lot of the academic procedures that are going on in the school. And so you might fall into a realm of being labeled as disabled, as learning disabled. And that's not fun for anyone. So we certainly do appreciate the fact that labels are not something we want to use on a regular basis. And I'm really pleased to announce that fortunately my father has joined us this morning, and he's very concerned about the school violence and how students, even from his day and age, when you're talking about the 1930s and 40s, as a young African-American man who had to go through school and labeled as and separated from other people. So we welcome E.C. Applewhite, jazz artist extraordinaire from New York City. Good morning, Mr. Applewhite.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm so glad you're joining us this morning. I hope that introduction gave you an idea of how we'd like to kind of pick your brain this morning and understand a little bit more about what it's like for you to go through school being labeled as a black child and a child that might not make it, okay? And so we'd like to come back. Okay, do you mind if we come back? All right. We're going to go ahead now, and we're going to talk about the show description, and then we're going to come back to Mr. E.C. Eddie Applewhite from Wilson, North Carolina, and learn a little bit more about his life and how he overcame the labels that were placed on him as a black child in American school systems. Our show addresses issues about parents and students and teachers, administrators, business owners, and community leaders. And they are shocked. All of us are shocked at the fact that educational campuses around the United States and internationally, but more in the United States of all places, are becoming the 21st century battle zones. Yes, that's what I said, listeners out there. Almost 20,000 listeners now for the student-to-teacher talk show on internet radio. And I am pleased that you're tuning into us. But I just know that you're joining me in this shockwave about this 21st century zone that's happening within our schools. Listen carefully. Withering flowers. The withering flowers from nighttime prayer vigils. You hear them on the news. Okay? And we have a lot of callers calling in right now. We want you to be conscious of blocking phone, putting it on mute or covering over your mouth so that you do not interfere with the broadcast this morning. So thank you so much. So as I was continuing on, that withering flowers from nighttime prayer vigils I see on television after you see one of these polls that go on the campus and you see the parents and the friends sitting around as they light candles for the people who were hurt or killed in some of these school violent memorials being set up, and the sad effect left on the faces of family members, bring awareness to our need for immediate positive intervention. That's what I want to talk to you about today. Most importantly, is that we've talked about, I've shared news stories with you about the horrors that are going on in our school systems. And now today, I want to give you something to carry on with a positive attitude about how we can really change. See, every time a new act of violence is featured, by the media, trauma experienced, like the anxiety or anticipated questions go unanswered. Specifically, why can't we stop the violence? These are our children, okay? And when we talk, that's when we're talking about K-12, kindergarten through 12th grade. Now we're talking about on college campuses. Why can't we stop the violence? In this episode, our guest and the White Apple Institute staff, White Apple Institute is our sponsor. We're going to focus on why can't we start the peace? Hello. Instead of why can't we stop the violence, why can't we start the peace? Now, if you have to miss some of our show today, make sure that you come back into our show on the internet at blogtalkradio.com/student2teacher. And listen to the rest of the broadcast if you do have to leave us this morning, or you're not able to. For those of you that miss it, you can always go back and listen to any of the broadcasts that we've done in the past. Our program is about today, and we have another caller that wishes to come on air. And I'm also going to open up our chat line there, and we are welcoming in. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, we got you. Okay, hold on a minute. Morning, this is Professor Applewhite.
Yes.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure. Good morning. I am.
That's okay. We're going to get you. Okay. Good morning, this is Professor Applewhite.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening with my. Okay, I think I got you now. You hear me now?
We've got you, and so just continue to, you know, cover over your mouthpiece, and we've got you, and we're looking for another caller now that just called in. Good morning, this is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning.
This is 363 number that's calling in.
Oh, yeah.
It's my pleasure. Okay. It's my pleasure.
One moment,
to be able to listen, yeah.
One moment, Mr. Applewhite. Who's calling in on 363 number?
This is Consuelo Astete. Good morning.
Professor Astete, we always welcome you to our show. Welcome you as one of our loyal listeners, special guests. We always appreciate your positive thoughts. And so thank you so much for joining us. Professor Astete hails from the, has taught at the University of Arizona and also a number of community colleges. And she is from Peru. And so she's traveled around a lot, and she's got some great thoughts about the American school system and how beautiful it is, even though we're facing some of these problems, okay? So we're going to hear from her about how we can bring more peace into the situation, okay? And we've got one more caller that wishes to be on air. And good morning. This is Professor Applewhite, and you're calling in from a 238. Good morning. Let's see if I can try again.
How are you this morning?
Good morning. And who is this?
This is Penny.
Well, good morning. Good morning. And this is one of our, tell the listeners out there, your experience as at Vanderbilt University. And you are one of the staff of White Apple Institute. So it would be important for you to share that, if you don't mind.
Not a problem. I was liaison to the international student population at Vanderbilt University when I lived in Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also co-founder of the International Women's Organization of Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
My co-founder was from Morocco, and we had we were a support group for people, women in particular, who were coming in from other countries to help them to find places to worship, where they could find the groceries and spices that they needed for their food, how to find English classes, and just, you know, as a social outlet for people who were being introduced to another culture.
Did you, I want you to focus on something for a minute, because I'm going to come back to you. I would like to know if you had to deal with any kind of violence on campus, because we're talking about some years ago, And so I'd like you to think about that and any fears that would have resulted from women going to school, okay? So I'd like you to think about that, and we're going to come back to you in just a moment. Right now, I'd like to get go back to Mr. Applewhite. My father has actually joined us this morning, and he's very interested in this particular subject about school violence, because as a young black man, a young black student, early in his early years in school, he had to also deal with bullying and violent acts just because of the color of his skin. Okay? Hello,
well, it's my pleasure. It is my pleasure to be able to listen in this morning, and I think I'll leave it at that until I gather my thoughts for the event that happened today and how I was able to pick up the radio and call in this morning and listen to your wonderful voice. And thank you, and thank everyone else for listening, and I will be here listening in to the thoughts, and I will have something to add to it later on.
Right.
But today I'll just be silent and listen. Thank you very much. All right.
Well, thank you very much. One of the things that I want our listeners to know out there, we certainly appreciate you saying that, Mr. Applewhite, is that my dad, we have a chat session that is open now. Okay, so our chat session is open, and we certainly appreciate those who do not wish to go on air. Certainly, we know that there's callers out there who wish to remain silent online on the telephone line, and that's fine. When you do feel that there's something you want to say, feel free to either call into our number if you're on the internet, which is at 646-727-3758, or feel free to write us a chat, have a chat discussion with us, and we will do our best to share that on our show this morning. So we'll start first with discussing the factor that there's a shockwave going on. And I pulled this thing about the 21st century battle zone just out of my heart and my head as I was listening and talking to some of my colleagues about how they feel when they go into work now in the morning. And these are teachers from K through 12. These are professors that I've talked to, and some of them listening now. We appreciate that. That have had tremendous anxiety issues just going on campus now. And it's one of the reasons why, and I think Professor Estete will agree, that there's been an increase in online coursework as opposed to being on campus. Now, that might be one of the reasons. I don't know if any studies that validate that, Professor Estete, but I know that online learning is boosting. Do you agree?
Yes, I guess people feel a little bit safer. That might be one of the reasons.
They feel a little bit safer. And, you know, I just want our listeners to know that I'm an advocate of the technology, and I appreciate the technology of online courses, and I teach on online courses myself. But I'm also aware that we have to be careful of not missing the human element in teacher-student relations. In student-teacher relationships, find that when we're online, we don't have that communication. So did everybody hear what I said? Was that very clear?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we miss something there, even though we add to the safety of the situation, and it's a shame that if we are looking at it, listeners, as a way of being safer to be at home and online, that makes this crisis of 21st century battle zone, or as I mentioned before, it truly is by definition an act of terrorism when we think about going onto a school campus and the fact that we have to go on with fear, the influence of fear, and that a teacher might not even grade appropriately, not even grade a student appropriately because they're afraid of the consequences if that student has exhibited any kind of aggressive act okay? So we have teachers that are kind of in this mode of, I'll just go ahead and give the grade and let's not have any confrontation, okay? And that's sad in itself, too, you have to agree. Any comments?
Well, it serves no good purpose for the student either, because they'll mm-hmm. be ill-equipped for whatever field that they're going to be in. And the thing that I see is that it appears that we're tolerating this behavior, both at bullying against the teachers, but also bullying against the students. At mm-hmm. what point do we say, you know, this is not acceptable? We will not tolerate this. And why is it possible that the teachers could band together and say, we're just not going to take it anymore?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's certainly what we hope to promote at White Apple Institute. We hope to promote a forum where teachers can speak about that, and we ask our listeners to go out and share this information that we're doing on the show with other teachers. Share this show. Just have somebody sit down with you and play it, so, because we do need to band together as instructors, as teachers, and as students, and say we're not going to take it anymore. We want to be safe on our college campuses, because once these things happen, these violent acts happen, then we're dealing with the aftermath and the sadness, okay? And we want to change that around so that people can feel at peace on their campuses. I mean, that was one of my most comfortable places, was being either in the library or on a college campus next to churches. I mean, now we're hearing about people going into all kinds of places, malls, churches, schools, or whatever, with these AK-47 rifles and just spraying bullets all over the place and hurting people. And somewhere along the line, we need to bring more awareness to the fact that we're not just talking about stopping the violence, because usually stopping the violence means more violence, okay? More police officers, more fines, more imprisonment, more anger. So I'd like to see us turn that around and bring more peace, love, and joy on Earth.
But one of the things that we may be getting away from in this electronic age is human contact. Without human contact, it's very hard to learn empathy. And without empathy, it's easier to disassociate yourself from human emotion. And so you're not, you don't see the other person as a person, as someone like you, and therefore you can't, you know, it's too abstract.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, it's a different way of looking at the world when you're looking at the factor that you don't see anybody, you're not touching anybody. And
right.
So there's no way to communicate except online. But you see, we're having this issue is going really, really, I hate to say going crazy, but it's just blowing up on us, because technology, you know, as we know, most of the time people are texting each other now, and that's the way that you get a phone answer, a phone reply. The answering machines aren't even being used anymore, okay? So everything is text messaging, and you're right. We're not getting that human contact. And now we have Twitter, which, you know, I have nothing bad to say about any of those things. But what it does is it takes away from humanity of being involved with other people. And the more we get away from that, the easier it is to be influenced by violence and aggression when someone does something to you. And I think that that's why, one of the reasons why, we're having this increase of violence on school campuses. Do you agree?
I do think that's a contributing factor. You were asking me to think about instances of violence on the campus at Vanderbilt. One in particular was very traumatic for me personally. We had a rapist on campus, but the university itself was very proactive. We set out groups, you know, so that people were not going to the library by themselves.
One moment, please. I'm asking again that our listeners are very conscious that any noise that you make in the background, we can hear that very clearly, and it interferes with the other speakers. So please make sure that you cover your phones or mute your phones appropriately so that we can get a chance to hear all of your comments coming in. I'm sorry, Penny, would you go ahead, please?
Yes, the university was very proactive. They said about setting up study groups so that people were not going to and from the library by themselves. Campus security was beefed up. The students themselves became more aware. They were not tolerating this behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that we've become apathetic
mm-hmm.
to what's going on around us. It's like, what difference can we make? We can make a lot of difference. We may not be able to change someone else's behavior, but we can certainly change ours and make it unacceptable. This is no different than the 60s when there were, you know, when they were having peace demonstrations or demonstrating
mm-hmm.
for essentially equality. It became unacceptable to do these things, and we have
mm-hmm.
got to get back to that, and that means becoming personally involved.
Yes, yes.
Without
I definitely agree with you, and there's a lot of great information I want to share about what some of the schools are doing around the nation. I'd like at this time to see if Professor Asete would like to add anything to that.
Well, I concur to everything that Ms. Penny is saying, but the big puzzle in my mind is how can we get involved? What can we do to start peace? It seems that it's such an unsurmountable goal at this point
mm-hmm.
to accomplish.
Yes, it does. It does seem, yes.
Of course, no. The one thing that is so important in all of us is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And prayer changes things. That would be one way of getting involved personally.
Yes.
And what was that again?
Prayer.
To get involved personally would be what?
To start with prayer, praying.
The prayer, yes. Which they've taken away from our kindergarten through 12th graders, but still exist on college campuses. There's a lot of campus crusades for Christ. There's Islamic peace cultural centers. There's many, many students that are gathering together to build peace organizations on campus. So you're very right about that, and we hate that to see anyone being subjected to a campus life without having some resource to go and find others that believe the same way that you're saying. And just, you know, hey, can we talk about peace? Can we talk about how we can start a club? Okay, if anybody's interested in anything like that, you know, any of you listeners out there, feel free to call me and or call White Apple Institute and talk to one of our staff about how you could get together and maybe develop a club that is centered on peace. Because,
yeah.
You know, when we talk about students, it's one thing as far as the way they handle the violence on campus. And not just the violence on their particular campus. We must keep in mind that when we hear about violence on other campuses, it automatically pours over and influences the way we feel about going to school ourselves. Right here in Arizona, Mesa Community College, or I think it's a full Maricopa Community College, is allowing the instructors, the professors, and the students to carry arms, to carry actual guns in their possession without it being hidden. In Arizona, our laws are pretty clear anyway that you can have a gun, but it cannot be concealed. So now they're allowing them to be on college campuses, and they do have to take a course, and there are precautions being made. Please let me add that. But again, the first thing that happened to me when I heard that was I was just seeing this shootout in my classroom, okay, automatically. And I remember talking to one of my colleagues, again, someone who has moved into teaching online now, because she does not want to be involved in trying to carry a weapon into school campuses or to duck when somebody feels like they want to shoot somebody because of whatever. You know, we find that a lot of this violence is not even centered on anything really specific. We take the instance of Columbine, of Dylan and Eric, who went in and hurt many, many other students, not just the ones who had bullied them during the school years. And we find that just as recent as what happened here in Arizona, at both University of Arizona and the mall here, which there was a student who was identified as having some issues very, very early in his life, and we couldn't do anything about it. And he walks in because we couldn't do anything about it because of the laws, the privacy laws. But he walks in and he starts shooting and killing people just arbitrarily. That's what's such a concern, more than the factor that the gangs of yesteryear, gangs of two or three generations ago, or as when my father was coming up, you know, that generation of people that when they had a problem with school, with somebody at school, what they did is they fought that. Okay? They fought the person and they. Okay, I'm still having some lines here. So they fought the individual.
I can't hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. I had to mute the callers on here. I don't know which caller it is. Unfortunately, switchboard doesn't tell me which caller is. Line is open, so I'm just hoping that they'll become conscious of the fact that we can hear the background noise. But what I was saying is that there's a different consciousness of violence and aggression now. And what I'm saying is that the gangs or the people who committed these violent acts in years before, in generations before, on school campuses, were usually focused on an individual or individuals that had hurt them, bullied them. And so they went in and they targeted them for their anger, as opposed to now where these students are going in and beginning to spray bullets to everyone involved in on school campuses. And that's what makes it so, I believe, this is what that causes more fear in us, is because it's so... it's not focused. You don't know who has an issue with you or who's an issue with somebody else that you might be pulled into it, right in a school cafeteria or a library.
Well, again, I believe it relates back to what I was saying about the emotional disconnect that we have in this electronic age. People are not viewing other people as sentient beings, if you will, people who have their own problems, people who have their own their loves, their hates, their fears, and it's very difficult. It's easier for us to retaliate at random, like a rabid dog, if they have no meaning to us, other than you know a possible irritation or some vague feeling of them being a tormentor or a possible tormentor.
This is that's a very, very good statement that you're making, and I hate to say that what you're describing is that we're moving more towards a sociopathic society, and that's not a very that's not going to help us. Okay, when we're looking at people who have a pathology of not caring about the feelings of others, okay? And that's the best way I can explain sociopath in a very, very basic way. So
do we address that?
How do we address that is, plus we cannot, at this point, far as a positive immediate intervention, which I talked about earlier when we opened the show, we cannot go in and we cannot change the laws immediately, okay? And we certainly don't want to start waiting for, you know, an answer in the next 10 to 15, 20 years from now. We need an answer now. Parents are crying out. Community leaders are crying out. Everyone's saying, we've got to do something, okay? And I think that the most immediate positive intervention that we can come up with is to start pushing this idea of peace. And I see it happening on many campuses now, and it's a beautiful thing that students are becoming more involved in it. But one of the things that's not very pleasant about it, unfortunately, my friends, is that it's usually in the kindergarten through, I'd say, eighth, ninth grade. After that, they stop doing a lot of the activities, the peace activities that have been looked at out there. And that's sad. That's sad. We have...
Maybe we need to start in our homes.
The what?
Then maybe we need to start in our homes.
Yes, and we've looked at that. We certainly have, and I think that everybody's saying this thing, is that, you know, what are the parents to promote this, okay, to promote peace? We see a world today where parents are extremely busy working and trying to survive and put food on the table. No excuses. No excuses. We're just talking about reasons that we've come across. And so the positive communication between parents and children has diminished greatly. And so one of the things that I'm really proud of the schools that are doing this is that the schools are trying to involve the parents in different assemblies. Even the Rotary Group, I don't know if some of you are familiar with Rotary Club, and the Rotary Club is trying to push an idea of, it's called the Rotary Peace Forum. And what it does is it's trying to deepen the understanding of peace and how to resolve conflict issues by inviting different lecturers from around the country, from around the world, to come and speak to people, come and speak to students, teachers, and parents especially, about peace and how to develop peace. We have now, believe it or not, we have in the United States government, we have a whole department dedicated, called the Department of Peace, dedicated to developing peaceful relations with other countries. Well, hello, let's wake up a little bit and say we need to expand that more into developing peace within our own country, within our own schools. And so I encourage you to look up the United States Department of Peace and become part of it. It doesn't cost any money to become a member of it, but to also have a voice in saying that we need to look at what's happening in today's schools with today's parents in order to promote an idea of peace, peaceful interactions. Now,
well,
I might sound like an idealist right now, and people listening might say, yeah, right, you know. But working in some circles.
I agree with what you're saying. I also agree with what Professor Estete was saying about prayer. When we have prayer either individually or in groups, I do believe that putting that positive energy out there affects everything around it. But it's my personal opinion that peace begins with us. If we practice peace in our own lives and generosity and in compassion, then we will be making a positive. We're having a positive influence on ourselves, our families, our communities, and it rips. And the best way for us to teach is by example.
Yes, absolutely. We spoke of that I believe it was one of the first episodes, about the fact that we must keep in mind that our generation, the generation that is now, our generation that we are responsible for as teachers, as parents, as business owners, that this generation sees violence more than any other generation has before. And so it has become, and these are factual studies out there, that the games that are played, the video games that are played that exhibit lots of violence, and on our own television, our media promotes a lot of violence, even in cartoons. The new cartoons that are out are just unbelievable as far as the violence that's exhibited there. So we have collectively, we have to start joining together, and it does take one person to start it. And this has always been, one person starts an idea and shares it with others. It's all good networking. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
So for people to just network together and just share something good that's happening on the planet as a whole, and then share something that's positive that's happening within their own community and within their own home. And once we can start, go ahead.
Thank you, Professor Apple. I think you just gave us the key or the first steps to begin this peace movement. I
mm-hmm.
think it's wonderful we can start doing it, sharing what we have heard today in this show with our closest friends, within our families, etc. Thank you so much for that suggestion.
It is, and thank you. It is in the observation of others that we learn the most. And this is a social psychology theory, but it's been proven over and over again. And I believe I've mentioned Dr. Albert Bandura. Dr. Bandura's work on social theory has been very, very helpful to understanding that children, as a rule, just getting down to the real basics of children and parents, children, as a rule, will follow the example that they see more than the example or the instructions, the discipline that's given to them verbally. And my greatest example is the parent that sits there with a cigarette in their mouth and says, please, don't ever smoke, okay? And so how the child that's looking at the parent smoking is going to follow more the example of what they see than what they hear. Now, that doesn't mean, because I've heard the argument on this, it doesn't mean, listeners, that just because a person sees another person doing something that they're automatically going to do it. But it does give some justification to the fact that violence, as a rule, is a learned behavior, especially the aggression that we're seeing in our school and our schools. Okay, somebody has to tell them about an AK-47 rifle. Somebody has to tell them about, or they have to be able to access information that will expand their knowledge about how to go into a school and actually shoot up other people. Okay, so on the same voice, somebody has to be the one to say, but there's another way. There's another way to address the peace that you're going, that needs to be done, the communication that we need to have. When we identify, especially when we identify that there's a student out there that's feeling very angry about something, okay? Now, come on, that's not hard to identify, and that's not interfering in the Privacy Act of an individual because nothing is written. But when you see teachers, when you see, or community leaders, you see someone very angry about a subject, address it and listen to what they're saying. We have a really uncomfortable habit here in our American culture, and I, Professor Asete, feel free to jump in on this, but the habit that we have, and I think you and I have discussed this before, is that when people say, hello, how are you, in America, people automatically respond back It's fine. No one ever goes the step further to say, well, how are you really doing? We just expect that someone will say, fine, and then we move on.
Right. And if you ask them how they're really doing, they a lot of times it just takes them by surprise, like, what, are you kidding, man? Do you really want to know how I'm doing?
And call up, please introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Tom Baker, Vice President
of the Student Council on White Apple Institute.
White Apple Institute. I drew a blank there.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. Yeah, you're very, very involved with helping and spreading the word about White Apple Institute to students and teachers alike. And we really appreciate you, Tom, for the work that you do. And we've got to get you some business cards and some flyers so that you can really get out there and push the news on what we're trying to do here, especially when we talk about peace. But thank you for your comment. Your comment is really important to us that, yes, we don't seem to be really involved in what's going on. And even back to what I believe it was Penny was saying about the family, okay, really, when we ask our children, how was school today? And they say, fine. And we just leave it like that. Many parents just leave it like that. And for the reasons, maybe they're too tired, they're just overwhelmed at work or whatever. But here we go again with going back to many examples I could go on and on about examples. I don't want to do that because we don't want to get into the goriness of the violence that's taking place on campus. But when we go back into the history of these individuals, we find that parenting, the intervention from parents was not there, okay? Obvious in the fact, just in looking at the Columbine instance, which was the largest attention gather to what's really going on in our schools, how can students have an arsenal of weapons in their home, in their bedroom? Where are parents? Are they coming into the bedroom and talking to students? Okay, are they seeing the anger? If you're seeing anger in someone, even at work,
yeah,
step over to that individual. Hey, how are you doing? And really listen to them. May I give you that as a suggestion to begin starting this peace process?
Right, well,
now,
have you ever
go ahead. Some people are going to say something else now. They're not going to like that, Tom.
I know. I was going to say, you know, there's a book called The Crossing the Switchblade, and they found the drug dealers and heroin users in New York City predominantly, like I said, not totally, but came from households where they weren't paid attention to, where they weren't cooked a good meal, where it was low income, just predominantly they weren't in a good environment to be raised, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they took it out on other people by murdering and some of the other stuff that goes on.
What was the name of that book again?
What?
The name of the book again that you mentioned?
Oh, it's called, let me think of it. The Cross and the Switchblade. Very famous book. Inspirational.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for that comment because that's really important. And I do want to dispel one of the myths that's out there about school violence, and one of them is that many of these students come from homes that are from poor socioeconomic levels. I mean, very, very low income families. It's true that the majority of them are that fit in that category, but we're finding more, especially in this college violence, we're finding more that many of these students do not come from those types of homes. They're in a college environment. They've been involved in education. Their parents may have even been somewhat involved. And so we're still getting this missing link, so to speak, in the way that this violence is being portrayed, this bullying is being portrayed. Look at bullying, just as an example, bullying in itself, I mean, students have always bullied. People have always bullied each other. But they, you've seen a video on the television of students actually beating and killing another student or bullying them to the point where they go home and they actually commit suicide. So somewhere along the line, I mean, we're not going to be able to solve this in our one conversation here or in our four-part discussion that we've had. But one thing we hope that we've done is drop some seeds, some real seeds here, seeds of we've got to do something, and it's not going to be violence against violence, okay? It's going to have to be that we look at how we can bring more peace and more intervention between our parents, students, and teachers. We have 8 minutes remaining on the show. Go ahead.
Professor Apple, I have another suggestion that
mm-hmm.
I just thought about, and which already exists. But I don't know exactly the term that is used, but it's the concept is of being a big brother or a big sister to
mm-hmm.
a student. Big brothers
right.
and big sisters in schools. I think this would be wonderful, you know, to start things, you know, on like another little contribution by
mm-hmm.
befriending a student and giving them support and whatever they cannot get in their homes. And
yes.
that would also help to create a more peaceful environment because these students will be a little bit happier and they will be more interested in studying and everything.
Mm-hmm.
By the very fact that someone is interested in them and is trying to share their lives with someone else.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that's very important. Thank you for bringing that out. I mean, there's certainly we know that we have churches. We have churches. And we don't know why churches are not able to intervene right now more positively in what's going on in communities. And we don't want to get into a church bashing session here or a religious bashing, but we do know that we're not seeing a lot of intervention going on, especially in the news. We see a few people coming out, and we certainly appreciate those that come on CNN and our CBS News and whatever and talk about books that they've written and ideas that they have, and we appreciate that. But there's also that missing link again of why someone would come in and not have enough peace and compassion that they've built up to stop them from hurting other people that have nothing to do with them. And somewhere in this stop the violence, in this cry for us to stop the violence, we must start crying out. We have to start the peace. Start the peace. Then we get into the question, well, how do we start the peace? Come on, that's an ideology that's been going on for years and years. And what about the fact that when you turn on the television, what do our young people on college campuses see?
Sex and
what
violence.
Do our older students see, our more mature students? Wars in all kinds of places all over the world. And so if we can't create peace in large communities, in large countries, where we have these leaders that they say they want peace also, how can we come down to the little tiny school that sits in a little tiny town where a young man is being bullied and picks up a rifle or weapon or whatever and start shooting people? How can we do that?
What I'm hearing you say is that people are retaliating because they feel powerless.
Yes.
They are retaliating because they feel that their power has been taken away. But I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a moment. We still have a choice. Everyone has a choice whether maybe we need to teach about choices. I have a brother-in-law who was literally left on a doorstep as a 3-week-old infant.
Mm-hmm.
They the orphanage speculated that he was left there because he was biracial,
mm-hmm.
and that the parents could not, in that particular environment, care for the child.
Mm-hmm.
He was raised in that orphanage to the age of 14. It was, by and large, they gave him food, they gave him shelter and clothing and an education, but as far as love and simple joys, there, you know, those were few and far between.
Right,
he felt
right.
very deprived, emotionally deprived.
Mm-hmm.
However, instead of it making him hard and bitter, he told himself every day that when he got out of there, that he would let his family, that he would have one day, know every single day that they were loved. He would be a good husband. He would be a loving father. And he made a choice. He lived a life of deprivation. He didn't like it. I don't know very many people that would enjoy that. But instead of retaliating against the world, he decided that it wasn't going, that was not going to be his reality.
Yes. And it is many, many times. Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me. It is all of the time, 100% of the time, choice. It is
right.
choice. The choices that we make, our own choices. We can justify our choices, which is what happens with people who do these violent and aggressive acts. We can justify them. But we can also, I'm going to take it another step here. We can also, in the same voice, say, if we're really concerned about this particular issue, make a choice today to involve yourself as a mentor, and that's the word that I believe Professor was looking for, that we have lost the part in our society of being mentors to students, mentors even on college campuses. I don't even hear the word very often. And I think that that's something that's really missing, because mentoring was one of the ways that someone had an opportunity to at least vent to someone, to at least say, this is bothering me, and oh, I can't make it, or the math teacher is really making me very upset. Okay, I remember having a student come to me for her boyfriend, who was very concerned. She was concerned that her boyfriend was going home, right, and having this anger issue with his math teacher, and even made comments about one day he wishes he could just go in and blow her head off. And when you hear things like that, and I'm so proud of that young lady for coming in and sharing that information, but again we ran into the issues of privacy. And so the only thing that I had an option to do was to talk to him privately and ask him to say what was going on with him. I could not even bring up the third-party issue that his girlfriend had come in, because we are surrounded by the laws in addition to the barriers that we see, the parents and our community. Lo and behold, last, as we leave our show today, the few seconds remaining, we must send out prayer for all of these schools and for all of the students out there that are frustrated, that see our world from a different perspective than those of us who were in school 30 or 40 years ago. We ask that Detroit, as it's beginning to lead a trend in declining enrollment and school closings, okay, it's before in Detroit, but we're having these budget issues all over the place with schools in our nation. So much more to say about this subject, and we if we want to continue this another week, we can add this in to our topic next week if we wish. And we wish you much love and peace from White Apple Institute and the student to teacher to student radio show on the internet. This is Professor Applewhite wishing you a great week, and we'll talk to you again next Saturday, and thank you for participating in this wonderful, wonderful discussion.
Bye.